another quote from Dr. Radhakrishnan, Abhay offered a statement he also used as one of the mottos of the magazine. We have to defeat tyranny in the realm of thought and create a will for world peace. Instruments for training the mind and educating human nature should be used to develop a proper social outlook, without which institutional machinery was of little use. Abhay expressed his confidence that the spiritual resources of India could be used by everyone, not only to enhance the glory of India, but to benefit the whole world. Next, he told how he had come to begin Back to Godhead magazine, how he had written a letter 2 weeks before the disappearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and how his spiritual master had instructed him to preach in English. Under the circumstances, since 1936 up to now, I was simply speculating whether I shall venture this difficult task, and that without any means and capacity. But as none have discouraged me, I have now taken courage to take up the work. But at the present moment, my conscience is dictating me to take up the work, although the difficulties are not over for the present situation arising out of war conditions. Abhay stated that his paper would contain only the transcendental messages of the great sages of India, especially Lord Chaitanya, and that his duty would be simply to repeat them, just like a translator. He would not manufacture anything, and so his words would descend as transcendental sound for guiding people back to Godhead. He admitted the subject matter of Back to Godhead being from a totally different sphere of consciousness might seem dry to his readers, but he held that anyone who actually gave attention to his message would benefit. Sugar candy is never sweet to those who are suffering from the disease of the bile, but still, sugar candy is the medicine for bilious patients. The taste of sugar candy will gradually be revived if the bilious patient goes on taking sugar candy regularly for the cure of the disease. We recommend the same process to the readers of Back to Godhead. Abhay focused on presenting the timeless message of the Vedas, but in the context of current crises. In his essay, Godhead and His Potentialities, he presented Vedic evidence and logical arguments to explain the transcendental nature of Godhead and the individual souls, both being deathless, blissful, and full of knowledge. Because men have forgotten and neglected their vital connection with God, they can never be satisfied in the material world, which is temporary and beset with unavoidable miseries. As spiritual souls, everyone is eternal by nature, and therefore everyone tries to avoid the onslaught of distresses and dangers which come one after another. But the material body is meant for suffering and ultimately for destruction. This is another quote from the magazine. The exodus of the residents of Calcutta to other places out of fear of being raided by the Japanese bombs is due to the same tendency of non-destructible existence. But those who are thus going away do not remember that even after going away from Calcutta, saved from the raids of the Japanese bombs, they are unable to protect their bodies as non-destructible in any part of the material universe. When the same bodies will be raided by the bombs of material nature in the form of the threefold miseries. The Japanese also, who are threatening the Calcutta people with ruthless air raids for increasing their own happiness by possession of lands, do not know that their happiness is also temporary and destructible, as they have repeatedly experienced in their own fatherland. The living beings, on the other hand, who are designed to be killed, are by nature eternal, impenetrable, invisible, etc. So all those living entities who are threatened to be killed, as well as those who are threatening to conquer, are all alike in the grip of the Maya potency and are therefore in darkness. Abhay wrote that never by their own devices could men escape the conditions of destruction. So many world leaders were seeking relief from the war, but all were useless because their attempts for peace were within the material conception of life. Their attempts were like attempts to alleviate darkness with darkness, but darkness can be removed only by light. This is another quote. Without light, any amount of speculation of the human mind, which is also a creation of the material world, material nature, can never restore the living entities to permanent happiness. In that darkness, any method of bringing peace in the world can bring only temporary relief or distress, as we can see from all creations of the external potency. In the darkness, non-violence is as much useless as violence, while in the light, there is no need of violence or non-violence. Let me see if the verse is on the board.
I don't think it's there. It's for Tuesday and for Wednesday. Today's 9:40. There is like, it's written as for Tuesday and for Wednesday verses. But so today is Monday, so today previous verse. Today's 39 and 40. Okay. I just checked in the morning.
No.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So today we read Canto 4, chapter 29, and text 39 and 40. Oh, sorry, chapter 13, the activities of the Prachyati. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 441 page. I just read the verse, it's like two verses, 39 and 40. Very, very good. Yana saditam guruva prasaditam viprascha vidas chasad anuvritya aryana ta sufrida vratarascha sarvani bhutanyana suya yava yana sutaptam tapa etat isha nirandasam kalam adagram apsu sarvam tad etat purushasya bhumno vrini mahete partoshanaya. Muktvendra Prabhu, would you like to read the verse?
Yana saditam guruva prasadita viprascha vrindhascha sadhana vritya yanata surido pratarascha sarvani bhutan anasuyaya eva yanaksutaptam tapa etad isha nirandasam kalamadabhram apsu sarvam taretat purushasya gunno vrindi mahete paritoshanayam.
Word for word translation. Yad.
Yad.
What?
What?
Naha.
Naha.
By us.
By us.
Svadhitam.
Svadhitam.
Studied.
Studied.
Guruva.
Guruva.
Superior persons.
Superior persons.
Spiritual masters.
Spiritual masters.
Prasadita.
Prasadita.
Satisfied.
Satisfied.
Vipra.
Vipra.
The Brahmanas.
The Brahmanas.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Vrida.
Vrida.
Those who are elderly.
Those who are elderly.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Sat anuvritya.
Sat anuvritya.
By our gentle behavior.
By our gentle behavior.
Arya.
Arya.
Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge.
Nata.
Were offered obeisances. Sufrida.
Sufrida.
Friends.
Bratara.
Brothers.
Cha.
And.
Sarvani.
All.
Bhutani. Bhutani.
Living entities.
Anasuyaya.
Without envy.
Eva. Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Yet.
Yet.
What?
What?
Now.
Now.
Of us.
Of us.
Suttaptam.
Suttaptam.
Sivir.
Sivir.
Tapa.
Tapa.
Tenaz.
Kananaz.
Eta.
Eta.
This.
This.
Isha.
Isha.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Nirandhasam.
Nirandhasam.
Without taking any food.
Without taking any food.
Kalam.
Kalam.
Time.
Time.
Adabram.
Adabram.
For a long duration.
For a long duration.
Apsu.
Apsu.
Within the water.
Within the water.
Sarvam.
Sarvam.
All.
All.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Etat.
Etat.
This.
This.
Purushasya.
Purushasya.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Bhumna.
Bhumna.
The most exalted.
The most exalted.
Vrinimahe.
Vrinimahe.
We want this benediction.
We want this benediction.
Te.
Te.
Of you.
Of you.
Paritoshanaya.
Paritoshanaya.
For the satisfaction.
For the satisfaction.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, we have studied the Vedas, accepted a spiritual master, and offered respect to Brahmanas, advanced devotees, and aged personalities who are spiritually very advanced. We have offered our respects to them, and we have not been envious of any brother, friend, or anyone else. We have also undergone severe austerities within the water and have not taken food for a long time. All these spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. We pray for this benediction only and nothing more. Purport by Srimad Bhagavatam. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Samshidhir Haritoshanam, the real perfection of life is pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedas cha sarva aham eva vedya. In understanding the Vedas, one has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who has actually understood Him surrenders unto Him after many, many births. We find all these qualifications in the Prachetas. They underwent severe austerities and penances within the water, and they didn't take any food for a very long time. They practiced these austerities not for the material benediction, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. One may engage in any business, material or spiritual, but the purpose should be the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse presents a perfect picture of Vedic civilization. People training to become devotees should be respectful not only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but also to those who are elderly in knowledge, who are Aryans, and actual devotees of the Lord. An Aryan is one who doesn't boast, but is an actual devotee of the Lord. Aryan means advance. Formerly, those who claim to be Aryans have to be devotees of the Lord. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita 2.2, Krishna chastised Arjuna by saying that he was speaking like a non-Aryan. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kutastva Kashmala Nuda, Vishame Samupastitam, Anarya Jushtam, Ashvargyam, Akirti Karamarjuna. The Supreme Person, Bhagavan, said, my dear Arjuna, half of these impurities come upon you. They are not at all befitting a man who knows the progressive values of life. They do not lead to higher planets, but to infamy. Arjuna, the Kshatriya, was refusing to fight despite being directly ordered by the Supreme Lord. He was thus chastised by the Lord as belonging to a non-Aryan family. Anyone who is advanced in the devotional service of the Lord certainly knows his duty. It doesn't matter whether his duty is violent or non-violent. If it is sanctioned and ordered by the Supreme Lord, it must be performed. An Aryan performs his duty. It is not that the Aryans are unnecessarily inimical to living entities. The Aryans never maintain slaughterhouses, and they are never enemies of poor animals. The Prachetas underwent severe austerities for many, many years, even within the water. Accepting austerities and finances is the avowed business of those interested in advanced civilization. The word nirantasam means without food. Eating voraciously, you say voraciously?
Voraciously.
Eating voraciously and unnecessarily is not the business of an Aryan. Rather, the eating process should be restricted as far as possible. When Aryans eat, they eat only prescribed eatables. Regarding this, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram pushpam palam toyam, yomim bhaktya prayachati, tadaham bhakti pahritam, ashnani prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Thus, there are restrictions for the advanced Aryans. Although the Lord Himself can eat anything and everything, He restricts Himself to vegetables, fruits, milk, and so on. This verse thus describes the activities of those who claim to be Aryans. Amagyantin ranta syaglanantana shalakaya chakshavandilatamina tasmashri kuravenmukham mukham karativachavan pandurlaga eta girin vyatkripatamaham vandar shri gurum vintarana Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthapitale Sushimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinmini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharina Yirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtityadu Shitarini I'll read the verse again. Dear Lord, we have studied the Vedas, accepted the spiritual master and offered respect to brahmanas, advanced devotees, and aged personalities who are spiritually very advanced. We have offered our respects to them, and we have not been envious of any brother, friends, or anyone else. We have also undergone severe austerities within the water and have not taken food for a long time. All the spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. We pray for this benediction only and nothing more. So this is continuation of the prayers of the Prachetas. As we know, Lord was so pleased with their austerities that He revealed Himself to them. He appeared in front of them personally. And He is asking them, what benediction do they want? And as Srila Prabhupada descended the purport, Prachetas, they are devotees. Yeah? They are devotees. And that's why devotees, they never ask anything from the Lord. Devotees are, on the opposite, they want to give to the Lord. They want to serve the Lord. But here, because the Lord wants that, they will take some benediction from Him. Now they are asking for the benediction just to please the Lord, just to satisfy Him. Because first, as you remember, a few verses ago, they asked for the benediction. Who remembers what benediction Prachetas asked? They ask to always remain in the association of devotees and hear the Gaura in the association of the devotees. So that was one of the benedictions. As we read about like devotees of Lord Chaitanya, yes, they also when Lord would ask them, because usually devotees they never ask for something, but to please the Lord because He wants them to receive the benediction from Him. Now they ask something like very spiritual. So they ask first to always remain in the association of the devotees of the Lord, to hear His glory and to glorify Him in the association of His devotees. And now, if He still wants that they will receive the benediction, so now they say, all the spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. So they said what they did, and they said, it's actually what for your satisfaction. Yeah? So in other words, they said, we pray for this benediction only, and nothing more. So they pray that Lord will always be pleased with them. This is the prayer of a devotee. Devotee wants that Lord will be pleased with him. It's not just because I want that He will be pleased with me and nobody else. Why? Because when one is pleased, one is happy, yes? And devotees, those who love the Lord, yes? Devotees want that Lord will be happy. So when He is pleased, He is happy. In this way, that's like a desire of a devotee. And as we know, there are different paths of yoga. There are karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga. Yes, and on all these parts, some of them, as we also read recently, some of them are called mixed. So it can be bhakti mixed with karma, or bhakti mixed with jnana or with yoga. And here, the desired fruits of all these activities will be, if it's mixed with karma, will be some fruitive activities. And here there are some prescribed rules and regulations to attain the desired rule. So in karma yoga, a person follows our strictly varnashrama system, and he prays to the Lord with a regulated prayer. Because in the Vedas there are many many ways how to achieve desired result, like also for karma yogis, for jnana yogis, for everyone. So say it is said, if you want to get wealth, you should worship like this demigod, or should you should offer that prayer, you should do that austerity, that tapasya, that charity. So karma yogis, they do basically that. And jnana yogis want to achieve liberation, yes? So in the case of karma yoga, one wants some fruity, some result. One wants some result for himself, for herself. And here with jnana yoga, the same thing, but that result is not fruity because liberation, it's not actually material, because liberation is to be one with the Supreme Lord, but there is no existence. Yeah, so it's not in the material world, but it's actually not really there. One doesn't serve the Lord, just become one and free from all anxieties. But it's like basic level of free from all anxieties because there is no service. And to achieve that result, there are also prescriptions in the Vedas. So jnana yogis, they practice severe austerities, tapasyas, and they are very renounced, they practice renunciation. And they study the Vedas, but the goal of studying the Vedas, because also like bhakti yogis, devotees, they also do like some what looks like karma, something to achieve some result. They also study the Vedas, the Shastras, but the result is to please the Lord. This is in case of bhakti yoga. But here, they study to achieve their desired result, liberation. Yeah? So activities may be the same, but the intention is different. And here, as the result, they achieve the goal. Karma yogis and jnana yogis achieve the goal of their meditation. Why? Because also the Lord is pleased. The Lord is pleased with their activities. Why? Because they are prescribed by the Vedas. And because they approach the Lord directly. They approach the Lord directly. So of course he is pleased because they go to him. Yes, but this is not pure bhakti. Because pure bhakti, when we really experience something in our life, like when we love somebody, like our parents or our dear friends, if we just forget about what we want from them, if we just take that pure sense, if we like, we want to serve. We don't think about what will I get from them. No, we don't think about it. I think, what can I do for her, or what can I do for him to please him or her? Yeah, this is their sense of love. Yeah. So he, because there is no such a sense in the actions of karma yogis and jnana yogis, that's why Lord is not completely satisfied. Yet he is still satisfied because they approach him. Yeah, and this is the gradual process. Yeah, because that is if only authorized process of achieving the Supreme Lord. Just some ways, bhakti yoga is the direct path and very short, and some ways are very long ways. But still, they bring you to the Lord. But the thing is that bhakti yoga is direct path, and it's also the only way which can really satisfy the soul. Because all other paths, they will gradually, as we study, like one who achieves perfection in karma yoga becomes eligible for jnana yoga. And one who achieves perfection in jnana yoga becomes eligible for bhakti yoga. Yeah? Yet, Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas, they gave us this direct path of bhakti yoga without undergoing, like for many lifetimes, process of karma yoga and jnana yoga. After perfection in this part, like one can just become eligible for the next one. No, he gives us directly that part of bhakti yoga. So we just said about what is the goal of karma yoga or end of nisha yoga. And so end of jnana yoga. And bhakti, devotee, wants only to please the Lord. This is the difference. So the difference in consciousness, in our consciousness. And because we are so fortunate, we met devotees of the Lord, we know this and we see the example. Because if you just get this knowledge from the books, we will not really understand how to apply it in our life. We can understand, oh, this is very high like level of love, I want to achieve it, yet how can I do it? But here we see the devotees who are advancing on that path, and it's so attractive, because love is attractive. And also, so pleasing Lord is the highest benediction which one can achieve, the highest service. And I want to tell you stories. This is from Lord Gauranga Lila. When Lord Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, many his eternal associates came with him, and also some devotees that achieved perfection in that life. And how Lord, he was treating his devotees. When young Nimai Pandit, like when he grew up, when he was young boy, he was very mischievous, and now he grew up, he became a teacher. He opened his own school of Nyaya. Was it like school of Nyaya?
Logic.
Yeah, it was his own school of logic. Yet he was the same mischievous Nimai. And he would go on the streets of Navadvipa, and he would meet some his devotees, his dear devotees. And he would meet a garland maker, and he would tell him, "Oh, you have such beautiful flowers. I want this garland. It's so beautiful. Can you give it to me? But I don't have any coins." And when garland maker, he would see that Lord is a very exalted personality, and he would say, "Oh, please take this garland. And I don't want anything from you. Don't have to pay me." So he would give him his garland. Then Lord Chaitanya would go to a tailor, and he would see some clothes, beautiful, like clothes there, and he would say, "Oh, they look so beautiful. I would like to have them. I would like to have them. Maybe you can give them without me, without paying." And tailor would say, "You can take them, and if you like them, after some time you can give me some coins, if you like." And every time he would do it, when he would go to the milkman, and to the milkman, he would come to their houses and he would tell them, "Please feed me," and they would feed him. So in this way, he was reciprocating with his devotees, and at the end, because he was very pleased with their treatment, he would cast his merciful glance at them. And it is said that when Lord casts his merciful glance at somebody, then achieving liberation becomes like achieving heavenly, hellish planets. And achieving fruitive results, it's like phantasmagoria for such a devotee. So this is the result when Lord casts his merciful glance on a devotee. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya would treat his devotees. And there is a story of his dear devotee, Kulavecha Sridhar. Kulavecha Sridhar, he was such a poor devotee. He was living in a hut, like grass hut, which had many holes. And his own clothes also was actually very old and had many holes. Yet he was completely satisfied and happy. He had his own small business. He would sell banana leaves, because in West Bengal, instead of plates, they use banana leaves. Like the banana palm has big leaves, and like you can eat them. It's like echo, because they're just, it's like leaves. And so he would sell them, and we can understand that such business will not, he wouldn't gain much of money, and whatever he gained, like half of that, he would use for the worship of Mother Ganges. He was a devotee, and he was completely peaceful, completely satisfied. He would chant the holy names of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya loved him very much. Many times he would come and he starts joking with you. He would say, "Sridhar," because his name was Kalavecha Sridhar, "why is it so that you worship your Lord, you chant Hare Krishna, but you are starving? Why you worship the husband of Mother Lakshmi, who possesses all the opulences, and at the same time, you know, you are so poor?" And Sridhar would answer, "Well, actually I don't have clothes. You see, I have clothes." And Lord Chaitanya would say, "But it has holes." He said, "But I'm completely happy." And so he was completely happy. And then Lord Chaitanya would tell him, "You know, Sridhar, I actually know you just, you're posing to be poor. Actually, you have a hidden treasure in your garden. It's like, I know that you have some treasure. And that's why you're just pretending that you're poor. You are not poor. And because you're so rich, I know that you're rich. You have to give me bananas and your banana leaves for free." And Kulavecha Sridhar, he was thinking, "Oh, this Nimai Pandit, he's so aggressive." But like, that's how it was thinking, because Nimai, he would like behave in such a way, like he was taking pleasure in such behavior. And Sridhar would tell him, "Okay, Nimai, anytime you come, you can take whatever you want, whatever will please you, please take and go." And in this way, it would happen many times. It would happen almost every day. And Kulavecha Sridhar was never worry about that. He was happy. He was happy with such a fabrication. And sometimes Lord Chaitanya would joke with him. He would ask, why you treat me so nicely? I come to you, I don't pay you money, you always give me these banana leaves and your bananas for free. Why? Why are you so good with me? And Pavita Sridhar would say, oh, Nima, you are a Brahmana, and I'm supposed to serve Brahmanas. And then Nima Chaitanya would say, I don't know what you are saying. I'm actually a coward boy. So he would like, and Kalavati Sridhar, he was thinking he's joking with him. He was not joking because he was Krishna himself. But that's the way he was, so he was taking great pleasure in such reciprocation with his devotees. So he would come and take for free what he wants from them. And his devotees, that not only not object, they were so happy to give it for free. And then later on, as we know, once Lord Chaitanya revealed himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that Lila is called Shata Prahariya Bhava, 21 hours of ecstasy, when he sat on the throne and all devotees, he would call for his devotees and he would tell them, I want to give you the benediction, what benediction you want. And because they offered devotees, they would just ask for such benedictions as to always stay in the association of the devotees, to always serve you the Lord. And Kalavesh Shudar said, I want nothing but this. I want just that life after life, I would, like, you would come and take these banana leaves and bananas from me and I can serve you. Only my. So this is the mood of a devotee of the Lord. Devotee wants nothing but Lord's pleasure. And we can see that too in Vrindavana. When Krishna in Vrindavana, and his devotees in Vrindavana, not only they don't want anything from Krishna, they want to give to Krishna. They so strongly want to give to Krishna that some of their moods, like Mother Yashoda of Arnanda Maharaja, they are convinced that without him, Krishna cannot survive. If they will not feed him, Krishna will die. He is a little baby. This is their conviction. So they not only don't take anything from the Lord, they just give the Lord. And everyone in Vrindavan does the same thing. Like our covered boys, just to please Krishna, they become hungry. Like when they're hungry, it's not that they're hungry, they want to eat, because they know that Krishna takes pleasure in feeding them. So they say, Krishna, we are hungry. So now Krishna feeds them. All gopis, like his girlfriends, they decorate themselves very nicely. Not because they want to look in the mirror and say, I'm so beautiful. No, because they know that Krishna, he enjoys, he naturally enjoys how they are beautiful. That's why they decorate themselves, they look in the mirror and they feel, I am so beautiful, Krishna will be so pleased. So they think about how Krishna will be pleased with them. So this is the mood of the devotees. And by just saying about this pastime, because they are very attractive. Even like this, like theoretically, they are very attractive. Like when I read Krishna book, it's so attractive. It's like, I love sweets, yes? So when you eat like some nice cake, yeah, sweet, you want it more, you want it more. And here also, like, I want it more. Even maybe, like, it's not my mood because, like, we can do the same activities, yes? We can become hungry and want to eat. We can decorate ourselves or take care about somebody. But that would can be not our, like, real purpose to please the Lord. It could be, like, for us, yes? We want to feel kind of good mother, like, I'm beautiful, or, like, I want to eat just because, like, my stomach, I'm hungry, I want to eat. No, but, and we see that we don't really get like real satisfaction. Okay, I ate, my stomach is full, what's now? I can't eat more. Okay, you look good today, but you're aging, so it's like it's just becoming final. Okay, now you're a good mother, your child grew up, now he or she has his own family, and they, okay, they respect you, but like, they don't remain kids forever. So it's not really that eternal satisfaction we look for. But when we read about these activities, we see that it's so wholesome, that reciprocation, this love and reciprocation. It's so wholesome, and we want that. And we can see this reciprocation also in the examples of our spiritual masters, of other senior devotees. They give without waiting for something in return. They don't want anything in return. Yeah? So they give their time, they give their love, they give their experience, they give whatever we need. And they don't want anything from us. If they accept something, like we come and we want to give to our spiritual master, to some senior devotee, it's not that they want. This is like reciprocation of love. They accept because you brought it with love, with the intention to please that person. Maybe this person doesn't need, but this is that reciprocation which exists in the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, there is reciprocation of love, not of some things. So here is the same. If you give something with the intention to please the person, this is actually a reciprocation of love. And also, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 13. O best among the 12 world, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to God's division and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. This is highest benediction and highest perfection. I read also the purport. Human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. The four castes are the intelligent caste, the martial caste, the productive caste, and the laborer caste. These castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualification, and not by birth. Then again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder's life, the retired, and the devotional life. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life. Otherwise, no social institution can grow in a healthy state. And in each and every one of the above mentioned divisions of life, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. This institutional function of human society is known as the system of Varnashrama Dharma, which is quite natural for the civilized life. The Varnashrama institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. When the aim of life or realization of the absolute truth is missed by too much attachment for indriya priti or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before, the institution of the Varnashrama is utilized by selfish men to pose an artificial predominance over the weaker section. The Kali Yuga or in the Kali Yuga or in the age of Kvara, this artificial predominance is already current. But the saner section of the people know it well that the divisions of caste and orders of life are meant for smooth social intercourse and high thinking self-realization and not for any other purpose. Herein the statement of Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life or the highest perfection of the institution of the Varnashrama Dharma is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed from the Bhagavad Gita. So I read this verse again. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of God. So this is the conclusion of today's verse. And I will read the verse again, because there actually were many points in this verse. We just took about like the highest benediction. Dear Lord, we have studied the Vedas, accepted the spiritual master, and offered respect to Brahmanas, advanced devotees, and aged personalities who are spiritually very advanced. We have offered our respects to them, and we have not been envious of any brother, friends, or anyone else. We have also undergone severe austerities within the world, and have not taken food for a long time. All these spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. We pray for this benediction only and nothing more. Some comments or questions? Yes, Muktavali probably.
There's one purport in the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says that any kind of success in life, karma, getting material results, or jnana, gaining knowledge, nothing can be successful unless there's a little bit of mixture of bhakti. Otherwise, there's nothing can be successful. And the main point of the verse is about pleasing Krishna. So. You know, there's so many rules and this and that in Krishna, but there's really only Krishna consciousness is really so simple. There's no other. The whole Krishna consciousness is Krishna pleased, is Prabhupada pleased, is my spiritual master pleased, are the devotees pleased? Devotees should be pleasing to others, and it's really that simple. And Prabhupada said that we should try to see, we should act in such a way that we see Krishna smile He said, and if you see Krishna smile, you will smile everlastingly. And he see Krishna. And he, in another place, he said that we want a certificate from Krishna, saying that this man or this woman, this person has done something for me. We want a certificate from Krishna.
Can you go to karma, jnana,
karma, jnana,
and bhakti?
Mm-hmm. The goals, the bhakti
from
goals.
All through all those in one lifetime.
Yes, that's what Srila Prabhupada, he gave us a direct path of bhakti yoga. We can start from bhakti yoga. That's what Srila, because this is, in the Vedas, described gradual process. It is said that when one becomes perfect in perfection of karma yoga, it is not said like karma bhakti yoga, karma nisha, karma yoga, one becomes eligible for entering jnana path. And when one becomes perfect in jnana yoga, he becomes eligible to enter the bhakti path. And our eligibility is our meeting with Srila Prabhupada and his followers. We're directly entering bhakti path. Just, this is to remind us, as Mataji Dana Kelly, yesterday she gave a wonderful class, and she asked the question, yes, so why, who wants to realize Krishna in full? Yes, how he is, and why? Why do you want to know Krishna as he is in full? Why? Right? And there were many answers, and at the end, as they said, not even just because Goloka Vrindavan is the best place where there are no anxieties, you don't have to go to work and you don't have to do anything and just like you're doing what you want to do. It's just because there is love and exchange, because devotee wants to please Krishna. He loves Krishna, love means to serve, just because of that loving relationship. Not because like I don't want to go to work, I want to relax, to enjoy, that's why we want some liberation, yes, or I want to achieve that position, because this is the best place. It's a little bit mixed like with karma, get some fruitive result. I want to change this place. I don't like this place, I want that place. Because it's better for me. I don't like this, I like that. Yeah? No, it's because Krishna wants to be in the set, to be with Krishna, because Krishna wants it. Not because I want, because Krishna wants it. That's, yeah. So this is given, it's me, because sometimes our bhakti is mixed. Yes, when we see that we want something for ourselves, that means our bhakti is mixed with karma. If we want some liberation, there's a time it's mixed with jnana. Like this, Mukti Vendipu? You want to answer?
Yeah, that's good.
So it's just for us. Our acharyas, they give us the description that we will analyze where we are. And also because Srila Prabhupada gave, and our acharyas in the line with Srila Prabhupada, they are giving us only pure bhakti. But that's why it's so important to study the scriptures, to hear them in the association of the devotees of the Lord. Because then we can understand and we can, uproot the weeds in our garden. Because the weeds, like in our garden, we have beautiful flowers, not just some weeds. And weeds are this mix of karma and jnana. And if you are not in the association of devotees, we can start to water everything. And now weeds can grow even bigger than our flowers. And we can become like a little bit more influenced by karma or by jnana, but it will not lead us to bhakti. So then we can understand that the goal is to please Krishna, nothing for me. And because sometimes if you don't see the example of that, we feel, but how it is, if nothing is for me, why will I do it? But you get attracted to this bhakti yoga movement, and in this bhakti yoga movement is actually everything for Krishna's pleasure. And that's why everyone is happy. So we get already attracted. So when we see the examples of devotees who serve like this, like they serve, he it is said, like on the position like of the kshatriyas. Yeah? It's not about if the task is violent or non-violent. Yeah? Kshatriyas, they have to fight. And also like managers, like somebody is like temple president or like head pujari. They are definitely, if one is manager, some will like you, some will not like you. It always will happen. But the task is to please the Lord. I got that test. I tried to do my best. Yes, because kshatriyas, many devotees will be not pleased. Oh, many people will be not pleased with kshatriya rules or violence. But it's not about that. It's about pleasing Krishna. And always, if you're in doubt, we can go to a senior devotee whom we trust and consult, like open the heart. Like maybe like not with all devotees, but go to a senior devotee whom we trust, who know we can accept his or her opinion and consult. What should I do? Here I'm a little bewildered if I'm doing right or That's the perfection. We always can go to something.
And something about the eating, they ate practically nothing for a long time. And Prabhupada, in the beginning especially, not only in the beginning, but he would tell the devotees to eat a lot. But a lot of times in his books, there's like different things. Sometimes he would say, like at a feast, he would just keep giving more and more prasadam or tell them to... For Lord Chaitanya, in the feast in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they say, fill them up to their necks. Maybe like sweet rice with ghee poured in it, and like 100 preps, and they just keep... So there's definitely that side, but the other side is the statements like this in the purport from Prabhupada, that you should restrict your eating as much as possible. A lot of times he says you should just eat enough to keep body and soul together. And that's not much. To keep your body and soul together, it doesn't take much. And so both things are there, but especially in the beginning, we're not supposed to be like really into not eating a lot, not eating hardly anything, because that can just be like a real artificial austerity. It can be very artificial. You're not really on that platform. But like you see, advanced devotees, there are so many examples in ISKCON now. They eat very little, in very regulated times, but they don't feel any discomfort, or they're not thinking, oh, I got these boiled vegetables, but I really want that halva and sweet rice. They're not thinking like that. They're like, oh man, I took this vow, but geez, all the other devotees are eating that sabji with curd and ghee, and I'm stuck with it. They're stuck with this boiled vegetables. They're not thinking like that. They don't care. It doesn't matter. At that point, it doesn't matter. So they just want to keep eating to keep body and soul together. Without being advanced, it can be an artificial austerity. An artificial austerity can make you hard-hearted.
Yeah. Who wants to go for lingo? I just also wanted to say about that, because you all get different bodies, and some people, they naturally don't have so much appetite. They eat a little, and other people, they eat a lot. And if you just start to compare, not to compete, because some maybe eats little, and this, she eats so much, but it's just her body or his body. So on that level, there is no comparison. Because the point is to make Krishna, on Ekadashi, it's recommended to fast. Why? More to remember about the Lord more, to more chant his glory. But we remember stories how devotees, they said, I will not go for Harinam Sankirtan, we are too weak. Then Srila Prabhupada said to devotees, cook khichdi, feed them, go for Harinam Sankirtan. Because the point is to remember Krishna. And naturally, when we will advance, it will come that we will see that if I eat more, say, I will not able to wake up from Mangalarti. My taste for waking up from Mangalarti will be stronger than my desire to eat nice dinner, yeah? So when day, I decide, I will not eat dinner, because if I eat, I will not wait for mangularity, but my taste is stronger, I want mangularity more. So it comes naturally one day. Of course, we make also some effort, because also I like dinner, yes, but one day, when you do it, it comes naturally. We shouldn't force really too much ourselves, because otherwise, after some time, we will just say, come on, I just will eat it, and that's it. Yeah, so it's, we shouldn't also compare, yeah, because also sometimes when one becomes old, about boiled vegetables, one just knows, if I eat this nice samosas and pizza, I will suffer. After 1 hour, I will suffer. So that's why I may be not attracted even anymore. I know that I like, but I know that after 1 hour, I will suffer for a few hours, or even for a few days. So that's why I'm attracted to my boiled vegetables, because at least I can eat, So it's all cases are very, personal cases, yeah? So we see who are naturally attractive. Thank you.
Early in the movement, it's pretty much a rule that nobody would eat anything more than hot milk after like 5-6 at night.
You didn't have dinner?
No, in the old temple, the last two offerings of the night weren't even served out, unless somebody was a guest. If a guest came, they could have the puris and sabji and everything. But if regular temple devotees, sometimes the temple president would like lock it up.
But milk?
Hot milk in Krishna book was the last part of the day, like at 8 o'clock at night. After the Sunda Arti, Bhagavad Gita class, and then hot milk in Krishna book, and then go take rest early, like by 9 o'clock. And then, you know, everybody had to get up for Mangal Arti every day. There's no, that was it.
Oh. Yeah.